T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
The latest rage for kids is driving entire neighborhoods crazy. It's called
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
That's like an alarm clock.
With Dusty Hera.
Well, you want to woo-woo?
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
It's that woo-woo.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
They think it's a fad. It's going to go away. It's not going away. It's driving me nuts.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 of Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Ryan Buckley, Cam Cleland here with you. Dusty going to be out the rest of the day dealing with some family stuff, but Cam and I going to ride with you until 9 o'clock.
How's it going so far?
I mean, I think it's going okay. There was that one little moment where I did not have audio for the Brandon report, even though I had already cut that audio.
Look, so. Dusty had to leave because he had a family. My thoughts and prayers, I think all of us need to be with him and his family at this time. It's not like we prepared for a two-man show. This is my first ever two-man show. So we start off Mondays with there are bigger things in life, but family always is number one.
Absolutely.
And Dusty and his family, they need a lot of thoughts for you and for everybody right now. So we're thinking about you, man, and I know everybody here is thinking about you at this point, but we will move on because that's part of our job is what we do, but we'll be thinking about it.
Move the drill.
You're right, Buck. We do move the drill. As much as it's going to sound, we do move the drill, and I guess maybe opened up a little bit of a can with all the dog stuff out there because inside or outside dog, I grew up with a chocolate lab. He lived to be 16 years old. His name was Zeb.
Great run.
Zeb, chocolate lab.
Like, he was like Led Zeppelin?
Like Led Zeppelin.
Okay, nice.
Right, he was Zeb, but no, like Zeb, but Zeb, Z-E-B.
Oh, Zeb, I thought you said Zeb.
Yeah, no, not Zeb. He lived 16. I had a great life. He let him go, but we chained him up a lot, and we lived in the country. But I'm allergic to dogs.
Right.
So he would only come in when it was really cold. My dad would let him sleep in the front room.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cold, but he'd loved it there. And he had a little neighbor, German Shepherd, that he was buddies with, and yeah, great. I would say probably in our life, he probably came in his entire life, 2 months. If you added up the amount of days in his entire life, he's great. But now that's like a bad guy. I'm a bad guy if I leave my dog outside. Someone will come by and go, why is your dog outside?
I think it depends where you live a little bit, right? I mean, my mom and stepdad live up on a hill in Newburgh, and their next door neighbors have 3 dogs. They're all red heelers and they live outside permanently. They might come in if it's like a brutal, if it's snowing or even then I think they might just go in the garage. But the issue with these dogs is they don't get kept in the outside backyard. They're just free to roam the land. So they chase cars. They chase us on walks. They do it all.
All right. But dogs are inside and out. So I think we've come to the conclusion here.
Yeah, and actually, I had a friend.
And cats are the devil.
I had
right?
a friend from Utah. Oh, cat. Yeah.
Cats are the devil.
I'm allergic to cats, but also cats just don't, I think, deliver the same level of companionship that a dog does.
Do you remember Robin Lopez?
Of course.
You were not here, but Lopez is a cat guy.
Okay.
He had his own Twitter handle for his cat.
Mm.
What is that weird?
A little bit. Little bit. How I'll one up you. You remember the starting pitcher Matt Latos?
I do.
He was a rival of the Giants for some time, both in San Diego and in Cincinnati. But he got a cat, and he named his cat Cat Latos.
Okay.
He just basically named it after himself.
I'm not going to criticize dudes that like cats because it's a special kind of person. But if you are a cat guy, like you just have cats. I'm going to look at you with a side eye. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just going to kind of turn and go, really? Now, cat lady, I got no problems with cat lady. Remember crazy cat lady who froze her cats and put them in the refrigerator?
Oh, God. I had forgotten about that.
That's a mentally disturbed person. But I get the cat lady. Single cat lady. Dogs are high maintenance. Cats are Low maintenance.
Oh, this coming in from, I'm presuming, a cat person on the Better You Today text line. Dog people want someone to worship them. That's why they like dogs.
Dogs are loyal. Cats, you have to work for their affection. Okay, I know. I've seen Meet the Fockers. It's we know that because he tells you, dogs, they blind loyalty. But cats, you have to work for their affection.
There is some truth in that, but you know what? I'm perfectly fine saying I love having an animal that's going to come home and that when I come home is going to love me unconditionally every day and not be standoffish. Doing
what's
its
wrong
own thing.
With that?
Nothing.
Have you ever been in a bad mood when your dog sees you? How can you not? I mean, you just go.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. Have you ever heard of therapy cats? Let me ask you this question.
No, I have not.
Have you ever gone to the hospital and have a bunch of cats in a room?
Nope.
When somebody's struggling or fighting for their life, or have you ever seen that? Nobody brings in a cat and says, here's your therapy cat. They don't. They bring in dogs because dogs have that.
Not just because people don't like cats. It's because the cats aren't about it. They don't want to sit there on your lap and be your therapy cat. A dog will do that.
No. Dogs, they bring a light of joy to you. I'm more of a dog person. And I don't hate cats. Dusty, no, he hates cats.
Uh-oh. It's on the Better You Text line, today text line lighting up saying, yes, they do have
therapy
cats.
Okay, maybe they do. I just don't ever see
it. All right, fine. They have therapy cats, but they're not as good as therapy dogs.
That last text was kind of evil. How you bring in a therapy cat? This is not funny. Bring in a therapy cat when you want the person to pass away.
Oh.
That's not funny.
No.
I just read that. I don't believe in that.
So I do need to let you know about my case of the Mondays. This was on Saturday. We started doing some home projects for the new house out in Beaverton.
And yeah, you're a homeowner.
We are. And that was going to be.
How was mowing the yard?
Haven't done it yet.
I'm too
busy painting.
You got a push mower, or are you going to get a riding lawnmower?
No, I got a push mower.
You have a self-propelled push mower? Are you going with the, you totally did the lazy man self-propelled.
I got this mower as
a
gift.
Do you have a hill?
Not really.
Well, you don't need a self-propelled.
Well, but I don't know. I got whatever was gifted to me for Christmas.
Free anyway.
So, yeah. But we had to figure out what we were going to do with our dog during this time. We can't really leave her at home because we're going to be gone all day. She needs to be able to go out. So we thought we could take her to the new house, but we're going to have wet paint everywhere. So we can't have her running around, potentially smudging it, things like that. So we're figuring out where we're going to put her, what we're going to do with her. We realize it's time for her to get groomed. So Saturday morning before we went to the new house, we dropped her off at the groomer. Easy way to keep her somewhere for 4 or 5 hours, no problem. We get a call from the groomer that Posey has a few too many mats, and we're afraid that, basically little burrs in her fur that started turning into clumps, that if we take them all out, that your dog is not going to look even all around.
It's going to look a little Patch Adams.
A little chunky.
A little chunky?
And so the alternative is we can cut all the mats and leave her longer in the parts that don't have them, or just go all the way
buzzer.
Down. So that's what we said, and we picked up our Labradoodle that looks nothing like a Labrador.
Does it look like a Whippet?
Not quite.
You know what a Whippet dog is?
I do.
Yeah, mini gray.
Not quite Whippet, but we are talking about a very dainty chicken-legged dog now. She is looking fully poodle now.
So you're going to be that guy that's walking your dog in the neighborhood in a sweater, which is already weird. Which is you put your dog in clothes.
And she kind of prances. She looks very poodly. It's almost like she knows her new haircut and she's leaning
princess.
Into it.
She's princess. She sleeps on the bed with you, doesn't she?
Now, the good thing, she doesn't.
Oh, she doesn't?
She does
she's
not
crate?
Sleep. She's crate trained. Yep. Yep. Does not sleep on the bed, but I mean, I feel so bad for her. I might have to let her.
Oh.
I'm like, is she, the thing is, I don't think she's self-aware. She's still her spunky self, but she's got a little more, I don't know, bounce in her step because she's feeling all frisky.
Boy, we've carried over a lot. This is hot dog talk on Monday. Case of the Mondays is full of dog talk.
Lots of dog talk. We do, though.
Cats and cat lovers, cat haters.
We still have plenty of NFL talk to go. We also need to review how you, the fans, fill out your brackets. Yesterday was Selection Sunday. We're talking brackets today.
Is
we're
it
gonna
March
do,
Madness?
It is March Madness.
Are
this
you mad?
This is March.
Are you time for the madness? Usually we get Mrs. Hera. She's a drop in there, so you might have to look for it.
Oh.
She made this a long time ago.
Okay.
It's time for the madness. And you get that drop.
I will dig for that.
We might have to dig for that.
Okay.
Is this our first madness together, Buck?
Yes, it is, because I didn't come up here till mid-April last year.
True, so you've never heard that drop.
No, I've not.
God, I've been here a long time. I'm starting to remember stuff.
We will look for that drop in the break and potentially play it next on 1080 The Fan. It is 8:18. Dusty and Cam in the morning. Ryan Buckley, Cam Cleland here with you. Coming off some hot cat and dog talk.
Buck, I love this song. You know why?
Why?
American Pie.
That's why. You know what? That is the first thing. Isn't it?
It reminds me of 1999. 1998, gosh, in my rookie year, it just full nostalgia. Osweiler, whatever. They were big lacrosse guys.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
This song,
Stifler's
is,
Mom,
is totally American Pie. I would not have known about this song maybe if it weren't for, it kind of defines the era, doesn't it? I mean, it feels like that time in place in history, that movie, that genre, This was what it was.
So this text comes in, Better You Today text line, OMG Shannon Elizabeth.
OMG.
So let me just tell you folks, the 1999 Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Oh, that's right.
The Maxim party. As I was walking into the party, standing outside going, let me in. Guess who's right in front of me? And I just kind of sidled up. Right next to, didn't get any, I was, respect the space.
But it was Nadia herself.
It was Nadia herself, and I had a chance to say, hello, Shannon.
And then she said.
She nodded right back. She says, hi.
Hello, large football player.
Hi. And that's it. That's all I got. That's all I got was a hi.
Hey, it's more than but everybody else has got.
It was a good time. It was a good time at the Maxim party. You would have thought it was everybody from 1999 movies was in that party, which isn't, that was high point, some high point times.
I would love to go back to some of those Super Bowls, some of those All-Star weekends, and see who the IT celebs were then compared to now. Because a lot of them are still the same as far as, you know, music and movie people, but a lot of them have changed over, too.
It's a great movie. Second one's all right.
I watched all three. I enjoyed all three.
Oh, they're good. Bandcamp is good.
The first one is obviously the real.
At what point do you allow your kids to watch American Pie?
Good question. Big time coming of age movie.
It is a coming of age movie. And did you see what else they're remaking? I'm very upset at this. Pet Sematary.
No, I did not see
They're
that.
Remaking Pet Sematary. And I felt this way. We're just going off the rails, guys. I'm sorry today because Dusty had to leave early. So he's with his family right now. But Buck and I are holding this together. I'm trying to talk more than I talk on an average day, which is already.
We've got more to get to.
We will. We're going to do sports, but I just wanted to get everyone's take on this. We will. I promise. Buck, I promise we're going to go to sports.
Oh, no. This is fine. Pet Sematary and cats and dogs talk, all good.
Because it's pets, it's important, but we're going to go. It's March Madness. It's basketball. Oregon beat Washington. That's why I'm depressed on Monday. But still made it in. Still made a higher. How about that? Washington, I'm tangenting all over the place. But I had to stay with Pet Sematary for a second because they're remaking Engage. If you remember, I watched Pet Sematary by myself in my sister's apartment when I was 15 years old. I was disturbed. It's still one of the most disturbing movies for me because Herman Munster's in that movie.
Right.
A friend of mine, Pete, his brother-in-law is the father, actor. And I'm going to go look on it. It's going to drive me insane. These names I'm bad with. His brother-in-law is the actor and the father that does. And I'm not going to ruin it for you. Those of you who haven't seen this.
I haven't seen Pet Sematary.
You have not?
It was playing at a birthday party that I once went to, and I was too scared to watch it.
Dang it, Buck, and I wanted to ruin it for you, but since it's a remake, it's already been made a long time ago, so this doesn't matter. There's a cemetery involved, there's a dead animal, and there's also a dead child. There, that's it. I'll give you that. But they're remaking it. Why do they keep doing this with all the Stephen King movies?
I'll tell you why.
If they do this with The Shining, I am going... Seriously, there's a major revolt coming on. Don't you dare do that with The Shining.
The problem is they know that these movies all hold a nostalgic place for people, so they just see dollar signs. They see it as an easy cash grab. And
it's just the point where Hollywood has no ingenuity anymore. They're not. They just here we go.
It's just more predictable that movie's going to be more successful than something new.
In Pet Sematary, by the way, it holds a candle to me as the scariest movie. It's right there. And if I rank scary movies, if I'm going to get on top because it's my era, and so I'm just I'm 43 years old. So those movies, you had to be so. And you didn't have the kind of ability with CGI and create all this extra stuff. So it is, it's just The Shining, Pet Sematary, Poltergeist, these types of movies where you see The Exorcist. I mean, come on. Was The Shining remade? Was it remade?
I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of.
Was it really remade? That's not right. That's not fair. You can't replace Jack Nicholson. You can't do that.
Here's Johnny.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. Anyway, I just wanted to put that and to let you movies. Hollywood has no, they're just not exciting anymore.
No, I think
all they do is we get superhero movies and remakes.
They are, because that's what they're able to bank on. They know they'll make money.
And then we get to the Oscars, and then we get to tell all these snooty Oscar people that the arts of the movies is what we, no it doesn't. Art of the movie? What? Needs to be on film.
Apples and oranges. The Academy wants more good films, whereas the industry wants blockbuster hits. And if you can slap a title on something that was successful before,
because Aquaman's made $1 billion. Aquaman and Jason Momoa. Who? Come on. If you're gonna be a dude,
he's a beast.
That's a dude.
That
is a dude. And he's a big time dude because if you want to get my TV pants really
nice
tight,
it's
a dude. TV pants are tight. For he was in, I would argue, the greatest now HBO of Game of Thrones. He was a stud. He was a, what was the name of the group?
Khaleesi? He was a Dothraki.
He was a Dothraki. He was a Dothraki king, right?
Yeah, Khal Drogo.
Superstar. I mean, you make it that way.
And he got to bunk up with Khaleesi.
Khaleesi.
Yeah. He's got that going for him.
Which is nice.
Which is very nice.
So Pet Sematary, Exorcist, would you go? You haven't seen The Exorcist yet, have you?
Nope.
Have you seen it? Buck.
So here's the thing.
You're 30, what, 34?
What's wrong with you? I will tell you exactly how this happened. It was not a scary movie kid growing up. Parents weren't really keen on me watching them. By the time I was old enough to watch them, the ones that I should have watched were already kind of like in the past has-been ones. So I never went back and rewatched the classics that I should have seen, and then I just never really got on that train. So there are plenty of scary movies that I should see or should have seen, but when I was 12 or 13, my parents were like, no, I don't think so, not for you. And then by the time I was old enough to want to watch them, there were other more important movies to watch.
So one other, we were watching the basketball, and one of my young neighbors, he likes scary movies. He goes, those movies aren't scary in the 80s. You have to be more creative in the 80s. You did. You had Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You had the franchises of Friday the 13th and Halloween and all. Have you seen any of those?
Nope.
Oh, okay. So you're not a scary movie guy. And
never have been.
And really neither have I. I mean, I'm not, but that was required watching back in the day.
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't even tell you a franchise of today's scary movie. Saw?
There's also, isn't there like a Purge?
But it's not suspenseful.
Thing?
Purge?
Purge, isn't that
the
like
Ring,
a series of them?
Scary girl with her hair. Can't see the little tiny little girl. She's scary.
I don't know.
I don't think movies today have any.
Remember there was the Blair Witch Project, and that I heard also was scary.
No, I saw that. So I grew up in the country. We stay out in stuff like in tents, and we'd sleep out in the tents in the country a little bit in our backyard to pretend like that. That movie, I saw it before everyone told me it wasn't real, or I'm sorry, it was fake. I saw it. It was terrifying. It was terrifying.
I mean, if you thought it was more documentary than fiction, I can imagine how that would be terrifying. Okay, this is an interesting thought. This coming in from the Better You Today text line. We're talking about what movies do not need sequels, like Pet Sematary. What about movies that do need sequels? This person says, we need a remake of Problem Child. And I totally agree. That would be a good remake.
Really?
I think so.
Problem Child?
I mean,
who's in that again? So I got to remember.
The redhead kid. I don't even know. He was pretty much Problem Child and Problem Child only, and he just wreaked havoc, and that was fine. But you could do a more modern version of that. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the one that needs to be made, but there are probably some that could be remade better than they were before.
There's one movie and one movie only that we need a sequel to that will do justice. In today's world, we need true comedian actors, and I need you to do this, Hollywood. Hollywood, I need you to figure this out. I need you to come to grips with sports movies are fantastic, but there is one elite sports movie that needs a legitimate sequel, and it needs you to take it to the next level. You need to bring in the best comedians. You need to find a way to make it better, and you need to do it under the umbrella of the Caddyshack.
Ooh.
Because Caddyshack is, I can quote that entire movie with my eyes closed. It doesn't matter because I can think through, it doesn't matter if my eyes are closed. I don't need a script. you need to find a way to make a true sequel. Because Caddyshack 2 should be burned from the existence of film and cinema.
Yeah, I've heard it so bad that I've never even seen Caddyshack 2. It is the worst. Seen one, but I'm not going to bother with two.
But if you can find a way to do that in today's world, don't you dare touch Caddyshack. Don't you dare touch it. But come up with a new one.
Yeah, I like a reboot of that.
I would be in on that. And give me some Will Ferrell. Give me some guys in it. Give me a Saturday night, old school Saturday night cast, because that's what it'll take. That's what it'll do.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore felt like almost it took the idea of that same type of comedy and put it into golf, but obviously not the same story whatsoever. Yeah. I like the idea of trying to reboot that story with a rich country club owner.
Oh, yeah.
With the real estate guy that comes in and tries to take it over.
Make it at a Trump golf course just put the knife in and turn it a little bit more, right?
Why not?
Okay.
All right. We might actually talk some sports coming up here. We still got to talk about your brackets and how you fill them out. But first, a SportsCenter update with me, Buck. It's SportsCenter. Welcome back. Dusty and Cam in the morning. Ryan Buckley, Cam Cleland here with you. And after some hot cat and dog talk, followed by some scary movie and movie sequel talk, we might be diving in back into a little more sports talk.
A little more sports.
It is that time of year. It's my favorite sporting event of the entire year.
And is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Not even close?
Not even close. As the event as a whole is without question my favorite.
Is it because the length of the event? And we're talking about March Madness, folks. We're talking about college basketball. Is it because the length and then the run it gives you?
It is because of the first 4 days. It is the nonstop action. I agree with that. If you get... You know, there's so many games or playoff situations where everything gets built up for one matchup, and then that matchup disappoints or it's deflating. And what you thought was going to be a really great football game becomes a 21-3 snoozer. And the thing I love about the madness is that even when you get those games, there's always another one coming. And it seems like even if the first game doesn't satisfy you, there's one like loaded in the chamber ready to go to provide drama at some point. And it seems like it ebbs and flows the years where there's either a ton of drama or there's not very much, or there's a ton of upsets or there aren't very much. But I love the nature of this tournament, and you wanted to dive into a little bit why this tournament you think is unique or why they do it the right way.
Well, you kind of make my point a little bit for me, because I have memories, and you asked us last Friday, was it Friday? You kind of asked us in our double shot, which it was the major moment or kind of the March Madness moment. And for me, it was the Runnin' Rebels that would have popped in my head during that time of how good they were. Of course, we knew that it was a little bit shady. But that group, when they went undefeated, I think it was the 91 run. I remember buying my UNLV hat and went to, was it Lids back in the day? I don't know. We first got our mall. And I remember getting a UNLV hat because I was a straight front runner and I was 15 years old and I loved it. And so I think about this and I think about comparing NCAA basketball or NBA or Major League Baseball or even soccer or MLS or anything like this. And I think that NCAA football is the only sport where I look at and go, why don't they figure it out? So think about this. Football, when we talk about college football, is the only sport that tells you if you're not great out of the gate, if you don't get a perfect start, if you're not the guy in the first 10 yards, that you didn't win in the first 10 yards, your season is derailed. In college basketball, we think about, and Oregon's a perfect example, is they knock off Washington, who was playing well throughout the year, won the regular season championship, but gets in, and all Oregon does is gets healthy at the end of the year. Peyton Pritchard plays great. You got Wooten, who just becomes a stud, and you can't even get a shot off. Washington can't even get a shot off. I think they shot 31% from the field, 33%, I'm sorry, from the field in that championship game. And Oregon got better. College basketball has always figured it out, and every other sport has figured it out, that when you're playing, you should be allowed to get better, because team sports is about finding a way to battle through adversity, see who improves, because that's what you do throughout a season. You play a season to not be great in week one. Nobody gets out and goes, hey, we got to be really good in game one in any sport other than college football, because you could lose. You could be Stanford. You could be Oregon, you could be Oregon State, and you could go down just like what Washington did last year and was an average football team, but they were pretty good, but they lost to Auburn because their kicker sucked. Sorry, I was venting a little bit. But Oregon's going to go and they're going to play in Jerry's World this year. They're going to play Auburn. And what if Justin Herbert throws a pick? I'm not saying that, but what if, but then suddenly just goes on a run and wins the conference? Are they going to get a shot in the championship in the run in the Final Four? But in basketball, You got 64 teams getting in. I know it's a bigger pool, but college football figured out. Why do you have to be perfect out of the gate? The NFL doesn't do it. That's why we love it, right? The team that sneaks into the playoffs. Okay, you're a Denver, you're anything, and you get in, you find a way to get in. You're a Giants team, and you're a wild card. You sneak in, and then that's why we love March Madness. We wait for those Cinderellas. We get to see what was it? Loyal Chicago last year.
Mm-hmm.
Who picked that?
You'll
never see that in college football.
Only people who went to Loyola Chicago picked Loyola Chicago.
Central Florida is as close as we've ever gotten to the point of saying a team deserved to get in. What have they done? Been snubbed 2 years in a row and laughed out of college football. Would you ever do that in college basketball? No.
And the other thing, the component about that for football that I think is particularly damning is the preseason poll, the element of the preseason poll, because that then lays the groundwork for everything that the rest of the season is predicated on. And I realize that the original poll doesn't ultimately have an impact in your wins and losses, but I think in the way that people build teams up and then the way that they're voting on teams and sliding them around, if you don't start way high up there, you aren't going to have much of a chance of climbing up. And then if you do start way up there and you get knocked down, it's harder to climb that ladder again. Whereas this NCAA tournament, every team in every conference, the one who is the hottest makes the field.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Right. And it's too, I'm going to probably take a lot of chalk when I fill out a bracket, but I'm no bracketologist and I'm no smart guy when I'm picking. I'm going to look at all these teams and I'm gonna be like, I kind of like Louisville because they sound good. Or I'm picking Florida to go through, and Nevada's really good too. But why am I picking Florida? I don't know. I felt like I heard something that said Florida was good. I don't have any methodology to this, but I do know chalk's going to end up being there. We're going to see ones and two seeds in the Final Four. I feel pretty comfortable about that. I could be wrong. And just like in college football, we're going to see Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson, and that's going to be the same thing over and over again. But at least you do know in college basketball you got a shot. College football, it's like this massive elimination week in August 31st.
I agree.
It's like 121 teams, 122 I think they're in FCS now, and it's just like 70 teams are eliminated in the very first week of college football. I think it's insane. And those of you that think that you like it, okay, that's fine if you want to do that. Well, I just think there should be more opportunities.
A lot of your season then is determined by the non-conference games you schedule like 10 years in advance. I mean, you have to schedule them so far out now that even if you realize, boy, our non-conference schedule doesn't look that good, I'm not sure we can get much respect out of this, there's nothing you can do about it. You're stuck with the schedule you have. And I don't know that there's a way to create a tournament at the end of a football season.
There is.
Is it just simply by expanding the college football playoff?
I think there has to be. I think that if you want to have bowl games, and we've talked about this before, but if we just want to use just basic logic, I mean, have the championship game. And we'll talk about this in college football season ad nauseum. But every time we get to March, I look at this and go, what would college football be if a couple teams got better at the end of the year? Would you have ever played USC in 2016 when they knocked off Penn State? Would you have wanted to play USC at that point in time?
No.
No way in heck anybody wanted any part of
that.
One
of the hottest teams, if not the hottest in the country.
Same philosophy right now with Oregon.
Totally.
Because Wisconsin's looking at it in the Big Ten and going, we haven't faced, we got to play this team right now. The kind of confidence you're going to have is Oregon coming in there. What do they have to lose?
Well, there's
they're
a
12
reason.
Seed. What are they worried about?
That game spread is 1.5, despite being a 5 and a 12. They're like, these teams are evenly matched.
And they know that. And in college basketball, we're always going to see. And that's why I think I agree with you, Buck. It's never been my number one. It's kind of like it's between, it's right. It's like a 2A and 2B for me. Because the college football still holds a candle to that. And the end of it, actually, the Super Bowl is like 3.
And I prefer the college football season to the college basketball season. Yeah. But as far as the singular playoff
like
event,
month?
Or just the event, because for me, it's not even the full month. It's just the 4 days. It's having basketball from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday and Friday and being able to watch, 32 games nonstop.
Right. I'll tell you right now, it is clear in my mind, the two best months, okay, let me try to rephrase this here so I can speak it correctly if I can. The two best months of the year, as we go, we got 12 months of the year. It's hands down, it's the month of October. So we got football, college football, NBA, Major League Baseball coming down, all that in that 1 month. Right now, March, it's battling. You have not only March Madness, we're having AAF now. I'm kidding. We have baseball. No, free agency. and we're getting down to the NBA where all the controversy, we're trying to make a run there. It's, come on, free agency and all of that. You can think about how exciting free agency has been for not just the NFL, but every storyline. Everybody's trying to, you know, the combine. Everybody's trying to jockey for position to keep in the news cycle. It's March and October. And don't you want to try to argue against it?
I think that if you could make like the 15th of March to the 15th of April, 1 month, call it like March-pril or something.
March-pril.
Yeah, sure. That window is the best for sports because that's when you get the start of the tournament. It's also when you get the Masters. It's also when you get the start of baseball
season.
And then on top of it, you get the start of the NBA playoffs.
But if you just take
March, you don't get the start of the NBA playoffs. You don't get the start of baseball. I know that this week baseball starts in, is it this week or next week? It starts in Japan.
Well, because the Mariners already played over there.
Oh, did they already play?
Did you? And oh my gosh, you just went, I just went bonkers on here. Did you see umpire cam?
No.
Do yourself a favor, go on the Twitter
feed. Should we talk about that next?
I think we may need to do this because Mitch Haniger hit a bomb in umpire cam. It's one of the most sexiest things I've ever seen in baseball.
Excellent. Well, we may discuss umpire cams plus how you, Cam, and everyone else fills out their brackets next on The Fan. Wrapping up this Monday morning, Ryan Buckley, Cam Cleland with you here.
Return to the Mac, Buck.
Yeah. Return of the Mac. Great song. I mean, just the beat specifically is just outstanding.
Getting nostalgic today. Damn.
About
you,
what? Besides
you American
music?
Pie music.
Oh,
on
yeah,
me?
That's true, too.
Yeah, all that. Took me down a whole spiral.
We got a pretty good text from the Better You Today text line talking about being in college. Somebody was saying they were in college in 99. Remember that song, drinking beers with their bros and chasing hot babes. It's like that's what that time was all about.
Bros and babes.
So before the break, we were discussing umpire cam because we got to a place where we were comparing sports months and baseball starting up. So the Mariners, I'm looking at their schedule, at least on their website right now. It looks like 2:35 a.m. on Wednesday, they will play against the Oakland Athletics. But they're already playing exhibitions over there. Yep. And you tell a little bit more about what you saw here.
Well, my thing is let me set this up because there's been a couple times where you've kind of fallen into a few things that have been great. Spider cam, whatever the NFL called that spider cam. Remember when we fell into it where they screwed up their sideline cameras and the NFL went, uh-oh, we got to use only the camera that's hanging behind and we got to show the shot from behind. It's, we're all grew up playing Madden in college football.
Right.
When we played, where was the camera? How did
always
we play
back
the game?
There.
Always behind, always on the offense behind. So suddenly, when we watched football, we went, hey, this is really cool. We get to see the quarterbacks. You get to see that. And you kind of fall into this. I think Major League Baseball had a moment. And I don't know if it was Major League Baseball or if it was because of the Japanese League and how they filmed it. But there was an umpire cam shot of Mitch Haniger going yard versus a lefty. I could watch it all day long. I'm serious. I am what it is constantly on rotation, and you tweeted it out of the fan page.
Yeah,
at
you can see
the
it
fan.
At 1080 The Fan.
It is gorgeous. And I'm a baseball hitting aficionado. I'm not excellent at it, but I love how just the mechanics of how you hit and seeing about staying in your posture and your hands inside the baseball and being on plane. This is one of the most beautiful, sexy things I've ever seen in baseball.
It is a really good look at his swing from an angle that a lot of people don't usually see it at. Obviously, for a lot of the replay angles, you often see the one that's facing the player kind of open from like the opposite.
Yeah, bases loaded, NC, and it would have been a Nintendo game, bases loaded.
But yeah, but basically now you're in a spot where some of these camera angles are starting to resemble the video game angles that were the best all along.
Right. We did get pitches behind. There was RBI baseball or some of those things, and I mentioned bases loaded because the bases loaded was the shot from the center fielder camera. That's how you played. But this was great. And we got to see Ichiro make a throw at age 45. We got to see him continue to play. So I think this is going to change. I think Major League Baseball is going to see this, and they're going to go, hey, you know what? Would you take a shot like that versus Aaron Judge? If you're watching Aroldis Chapman on the mound, well, certainly he's not going to pinch against his teammate. But let's be hypothetical here. If you saw a big-time closer and then you're seeing Aaron Judge, would you want to see what that ball looks like coming in?
Totally.
At 104? And 103, do you want to see what that's like and see those guys barrel up and go yard versus that and respect how hard it is to do that?
It's one thing to read a scouting report. It's entirely another to actually have the tape to see what that pitch's movement's going to look like.
Chris Sale throwing you a slider, throwing you a cutter, trying to hit that, coming from way outside. Yeah, good luck.
Is there a specific angle that you think we still need in sports? Because I've got one that comes to mind.
Ooh, go. Tell me.
Goal line. I feel like we're getting better with cameras, but we need an overhead. So many times we miss whether
an overhead drop down
overhead
when we get in the red zone?
Just exactly. Not at an angle, not before, behind, whatever, but one straight down the line, like the pylon cam, but also one higher up.
High above
top.
Shot.
Yeah.
We're getting there. It's not like it costs a lot of money. Put the GoPro on eventually we're going to have there's going to be a robot back there calling balls and strikes. So why don't we just start with it now?
Sure.
What's wrong with that? Just a little GoPro. It's a little something like that.
I'm
with it. Umpire's got to love that. You hear him cursing and swearing and all the other stuff that baseball players
have. Oh, see, yeah. I'm so on board with a hot mic for any sport, really.
Sure.
All right, well, that's going to do it for myself.
Hey, thanks, Buck.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you for, for hanging in with me. But
we had a two-man crew because Dusty had to head out with some personal issues and family. We wish him thoughts and prayers with him and his family for sure right now. All of you out there, please be thinking of the Hare family right now. But we kept it together a little bit.
We kept it together. Cam and I will be back tomorrow. Not sure about Dusty. We'll see about that. Like Cam said, our thoughts do go out to him. But coming up next, it's The Herd with Colin Cowherd from 9 to noon. From noon to 3, you got Dirt and Sprague. And from 3 to 7, you've got Isaac and Souk. Have a great day. We'll see you Tuesday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.